The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The conflict within the Middle East and the US President Donald Trump's infiltration dominate the world's current headlines. Yesterday, the NATO summit met in The Hague, where leaders decided to increase defence spending, although Spain demurred. Today, Taoiseach Micheál Martin travels to Brussels for an EU summit. Pro-Israel countries like Germany and Italy are expected to prevent Ireland's efforts to sanction Israel over its war in Gaza. In the Middle East, a ceasefire seems to be holding between Iran and Israel, but countless deaths continue to mount in Gaza. Now, joining us to talk about all of this, the surreal world of Trump and Netanyahu, is Lara Marlow, Paris-based author and journalist. Lara, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you have been, thinking about America's recurring attempts to sort out the Middle East.
Yes, which always end in catastrophe. If you look at the last 40 years or so, on average, every 20 years, Israel and the U.S. Together, or at least supporting each other, tried to totally remake the region. The Israelis did it in 1982 when they invaded Lebanon. That was a disaster. Tens of thousands of Lebanese and Palestinians killed, hundreds of Israelis killed, and an occupation that lasted about 18 years. And they had to leave in humiliation. They were driven out by Hezbollah. And then in 2003, of course, the United States, with Israel cheerleading, invaded Iraq. That, too, was an absolute catastrophe. It started a civil war inside Iraq. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis dead. It cost the U.S. $3 trillion and more than 4,000 soldiers' lives. And it basically gave Iraq to Iran. Iran is still the power broker in Iraq. So I think that when Trump bombed Iran on Sunday. Trump never thinks about the past or the future. He lives very much in the present moment and in the hope of glory for himself. But if he had considered these prior experiences, perhaps he would have paused and thought, is this really such a good idea?
Now, we saw the early intelligence from the Pentagon itself suggesting that maybe the obliteration wasn't quite as complete as Trump had claimed, and indeed Hegseth went along with him. And then today we have the CIA coming out and saying, well, actually the damage was very severe, while a slight caveat saying, look, we'll get more intelligence later on. But because of WMD and Colin Powell in the United Nations telling us about WMD, weapons of mass destruction that were not found in Iraq, you have to take everything the Americans say with a grain of salt.
Absolutely. And the George W. Bush's administration was, were truth tellers compared to Donald Trump's. I mean, there's no semblance even of credibility to the Trump administration. That report that you alluded to by the Defense Intelligence Agency said that Iran could resume its program and still produce a nuclear weapon within a matter of months. And Trump obviously took huge exception to this. He maligned CNN and the New York Times, who reported on the report as fake news organizations. But one always has the impression when the CIA comes out and says, oh, no, Trump is right. It seems they're just pandering to Trump in the same way that Mark Rutte at the NATO summit also was flattering Trump. And Trump is acting like a spoiled child who risks throwing tantrums at any moment. So all of these world leaders are just, running around cravenly trying to please him. And it's the same within his own administration. So I'm afraid there's no truth-telling really going on anywhere. And the average citizen just has to try to sift through all this and figure out what is really going on.
Now, I watched a lot of his press conference at the NATO summit, and it was quite extraordinary. I mean, he turned on Spain, horrible country, hate Spain, and then he congratulated.
Very terrible, he said,
very
yes.
I mean, he turned on the young woman who asked the question, where are you from? I'm from Spain, congratulations on that. I mean, it was such childish stuff, and yet those around him had to kind of swallow. I mean, Marco Rubio maybe he looks, makes a pretense of looking serious. I mean, he must be addled if the man has any backbone left, and I doubt it very much. But he must be addled by what Trump is saying and trying to make sense of it all.
Rubio certainly is has enough of a brain to know that this is all just ridiculous. You know, Rubio called this the Trump summit. But the thing that strikes me most, both about the NATO summit and the EU summit, which takes place today, is that our leaders are just afraid of the truth. I mean, Michal Martin told the truth when he said that the failure to condemn Israeli human rights abuses in Gaza, the murder of over 55,000 people, 14 people were killed in Gaza just this morning. And the EU will not face up to it because, as you mentioned, Pat, countries like Germany and Italy are protecting Israel. And likewise, at the NATO summit, they agreed to a 5% spending on defense by 2035. And yet, because of Trump's presence and because of Trump's indulgence towards Vladimir Putin, there was no condemnation of Russia for the first time in 3 years at a NATO summit. There was a very vague allusion to future threats from Russia to the European Union. There was no mention of Russia's continuing aggression against Ukraine and the thousands of people being killed there. And so in both cases, people are just afraid to tell the truth. And I think this is part of the reason that people are so dissatisfied with politicians and with the system as it works today.
And therefore, Ireland strikes maybe a lonely tone when it's talking about a stain on the EU and not condemning. Now, when you talk about Germany and Italy as being pro-Israel, is that anything to do with the shadows in their past, their fascist regimes under Mussolini and Adolf Hitler, that mean they have to be so pro-Israel? It's all to do with their own history.
Yes, that's a lot of it. But it's very unfair because the Palestinians did not commit the Holocaust. But there are also other EU countries which will not criticize Israel. For the Czechs and the Hungarians and the Austrians also are opposing the questioning of the association agreement with Israel. They want to basically lessen trade with Israel as a response to the genocide in Gaza. But actually, there are 17 countries, including Ireland, which wanted to do this. So the EU is totally divided. Indeed, as they're divided on the Middle East, but they're also divided on, to a lesser extent, they're divided on Ukraine and Russia. And it's very depressing because only Europe can act as a counterpart to the arbitrariness and absurdity of Donald Trump's whims. And if the EU won't step up, then it just Trump runs the world.
The question of Trump ruling the world, I mean, who knows whether he'll be succeeded by Vance or by some other MAGA creature, or whether or not the Democrats will mount some sort of a significant challenge in the midterms, which would put a stop to his gallop in Congress if they manage to take a majority in the House and or the Senate, ideally both. But, you know, if in 4 years' time we have another MAGA candidate in the White House, this is not going to end anytime soon. The same sort of rhetoric, perhaps without the bluster and televisual charm of Trump.
And I still don't exclude the possibility that Trump could declare himself president for life or change the Constitution so that he can stand for a third term. I think Vance would be just as bad or worse. These kinds of regimes tend to last for a generation. I mean, if you look at Vladimir Putin, has been in power for 25 years. Lukashenko, his puppet in Belarus, has been around for about 30 years. Xi Jinping for a whole generation as well. So we may not. I think that this is just wishful thinking to think this is just a bad moment. This is just a bad dream. It will pass. I think it will take a huge effort and a credible, charismatic Democratic leader or of some other party, perhaps, to see the end of this Trump rule.
Now, the question of Article 5 of the NATO Treaty and the fact that Trump seems to be equivocating a bit as to whether or not he would come to the aid of another NATO country that was invaded, for example, by Russia. That is concerning. But the push by Trump to get the investment by NATO members up to 5% of its GDP might have the effect of making America's presence in NATO a little bit redundant in time.
Well, that would be great. I think the best possible outcome would be if Trump basically detached the US from NATO and left the structure to the Europeans and the EU or some other combination of countries, perhaps including Canada, the Australians, other countries with you know, Western progressive governments, if they would take it over and really face the Russian threat. To my mind, that would be ideal. But, you know, yesterday Trump said, yes, I agree with Article 5 and long live NATO. But on his way to the summit, he said there were different interpretations of the meaning of Article 5. And you remember last year during the campaign, he said that the countries who didn't pay their fair share, and that is 8 out of the 32 members at present who are not paying even the 2%, he said that he would encourage Russia to invade them. So Trump is just all over the place, and he's never, even something he said 5 minutes ago is not reliable, and he can change it in his next utterance. So, you know, there's almost no point believing anything he says.
The question of Trump really as the child in the room, and yet it's the bully child, everyone being afraid of him. I keep on thinking of the term eaten bread, soon forgotten. You give them something, it's swallowed up, and then it has no value. So Mark Rutte flattering Trump, sending him a crawling email when he was on his way over, and then kind of sucking up to him, making sure that he got to stay, the only world leader ever to stay in the Royal Palace in The Hague, all this sort of stuff. He's going to, you know, state visit to the UK and so on. You know, he'll just suck it all up, and it will have no consequence. It won't change any bit of the way he thinks. Why can't they see this?
I think they're scared, as you say. Pedro Sanchez, the socialist prime minister of Spain, dares to stand up to Trump. And so Trump is threatening to double tariffs on Spain, which he can't actually because the EU negotiates on behalf of all 27 members, so he can't do that. But he's threatening, and he always manages to find a way to make someone's life miserable. I mean, look how he humiliated Zelensky in the Oval Office in February, and now he's sort of saying, you know, being difficult about the Patriot missiles that Ukraine desperately needs to defend itself. And he said yesterday in his press conference, well, we'll see if we can do anything, you know, and he enjoys tormenting people this way, and they all go along with it. And I think they'll pay for it in the ballot box eventually. At least I hope so.
Now, he's a man of superlatives. Everything is the biggest, the most beautiful, the best, or, you know, the journalists are the worst, the craziest, the maddest. He is all, I mean, you worry, well, I don't worry, I just am concerned that the man with his finger on the nuclear button might actually have some sort of mental illness. I mean, the other day when he was doing the deal with Keir Starmer and he dropped his papers, and that's fair enough, and Keir Starmer went down and picked them up. One would have expected an aide to sweep in and pick up the papers and hand them back to Trump. But Trump was talking about he was delighted with this new trade deal with the EU, when in fact it was the UK. Now, maybe that's a slip of the tongue, but it just seems odd.
Well, he's 79 years old. When Ronald Reagan used to mix up his cue cards, nobody really cared because they loved Reagan. And then Biden, you know, there's clearly a double standard. Biden was really a mess, actually. He was past it. But the Republicans just jumped on that and you know, said he wasn't fit to be president and so on. Trump clearly is aging. I think your diagnosis or conjecture of mental illness is accurate. I've heard psychiatrists say that he's a narcissistic megalomaniac. I mean, you know, it's almost documentable from his behavior. Why everyone just cowers before him? I don't know. He's a bully. And we have to put up with this for another 3.5 years, I'm afraid.
At the same time, you know, in his maddest moments, he's not likely to bomb Europe, one would hope. And that's why I'm wondering.
Remember Greenland, Pat. I mean, he did threaten to use force against Greenland. He's threatened Canada. Now, he hasn't been bringing those things up in recent weeks, but he could again today or tomorrow. He's totally unpredictable. Totally unreliable. You know, with allies like this, you know, what do we do? I mean, you mentioned his penchant for superlatives, his narration of his attack on Iran. Everything was, you know, it was the B-2s were the world's most expensive warplanes, the what they call MOPs, the massive ordnance, the 30,000-pound massive ordnance penetrator GU-57 bombs. You know, these were the most powerful bombs in the world, and the strike was the most successful military strike in history. And it's childish. You're right. It's just childish.
Lara, thank you very much for joining us. Lara Marlowe, Paris-based journalist and author. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.